we're going to start with Birdie. And Birdie, you had one hell of a night last night. And, you know, you woke up a little later than you normally do. You took the day off. You called Bella Wood and you said, "Hey, I'm taking the day off." And so you're awake now. And what do you want to do with your day?
So how do I feel after, you know, getting zapped? And
you feel relatively normal, but like, you feel like something's off, but you can't really put your finger on it. So like, you're in this weird state of recognizing that something is not quite, like, something happened to you. And you don't have full memory of everything that happened yesterday. Like, at first you were startled when you woke up because you're like, "Oh God, I should be at work now." But, you know, you come to it and you're like, "No, I'm pretty sure I took the day off." But like, you're everything seems normal, but you feel a little weird.
Okay, so as one does in this situation, I'm going to check my phone to make sure I actually called in, check my call log. I'm like, "Okay, I called. I don't know what's going on." And as one does, I'll pull my tarot card for the day.
You do check your phone and you do see that you did make a call at around, it's probably about midnight, to Bello. You don't remember if you actually talked to him, but or if you just left a message, but there is a call that did go into him about midnight last night.
So I'm going to take that as there's no other reason why I would call Bello at midnight other than I called in or yeah, the saucer swirl was on fire. And at this point, I mean, it could have been, I don't know. I can't remember anything, but I pulled a card and I got something that kind of looks like a statue. These are cat cards. They mean nothing. there's some cute little kitties sleeping down there. Kind of looks like a nice little statue. So I'm going to take this, that this means that as a person who knows all the gossip around everybody and all of that kind of stuff, but doesn't have anybody to gossip to, I'm going to go visit my dad's grave.
Okay.
I'm going to go tell him that I think I'm losing my mind because I saw a man, a creature that has told me that I'm the chosen one.
Right. Okay. So you take a drive out to the Sunderland Cemetery. Is kind of just right outside of town. It's as you're heading south, and you know, you sit there and you start talking. And as you're talking, you notice that your head kind of feels a little fuzzy. It feels a little weird. And then you can almost feel as if something's coming out of your head in a way. Like, you could feel this kind of, like, thing. This sensation that something is, like, literally coming out of your head, and you look over to your right and you see this glowing orb of light, and it's just sitting there next to you. It's just hovering right next to you.
Well, my card also said sun, so obviously this was meant to happen. So with all the sanity of the chosen one, I would like to touch the orb.
You reach out and you touch it, and you can, like, right before your hand actually makes contact with it, you feel this, like, faint, like, electrical sensation. You can feel a little bit of like cold, like what you're touching is a little bit colder than the air around it. And when you do, you it feels as if it's a solid object, what you're touching. And you start to remember what happened. And you remember being at the lake. You remember being told that you have been chosen. You remember seeing the River Wisp. And you remember being zapped by the UFO. And you remember that in those moments where you were unconscious, you feel yourself being transported inside that UFO. At least that's what you feel it is. You're inside this UFO, and the spaceman is there. And he's standing in front of you, staring right at you, just looking at you. And, you know, he's completely covered head to toe in the silver suit. There's a black visor on it. You can't see inside, but you get the distinct impression that, like, this figure seems more human than it does anything else. And he starts to talk to you. And he says, "Birdie, there are bad things coming. Really bad things. Sunderland's time is almost up. And you've been chosen. I can't tell you what you've been chosen for, but it will reveal itself in time. You have been chosen. You are now the Watchman, or Watchwoman in this case." And your memory fades, and you wake up. And the memory then goes to you waking up on the ground in front of the UFO that is right in front of the saucer swirl.
I'm assuming the orb disappeared after that, or?
It slowly started to fade out. Like, think of it getting smaller and smaller until it just popped.
I'm going to sit down and continue talking to my dad.
Okay. What do you say to your dad?
So I feel like I would be ranting at this point. I'm just, you know, what the heck does this spaceman mean? I'm supposed to be the freaking watcher and that he can't tell me what I'm chosen for. What the hell am I watching for? What am I supposed to do? This is stupid. Like, maybe I need to go to a psychiatrist. Maybe this isn't all... Like, what the heck is even... You're just freaking out. And I'd like to try to make the fuzzy thing come out of my head again.
Okay. What do you
do? It's like, if this was real, I should be able to repeat it. I should be able to do it again. And okay. So I'm going to, like, meditate with my hands on my head. Like,
okay. So you're sitting there and you have your hands pressed to your head and you are like desperately trying to figure out, how did this happen? Where did this thing come from? And how do I get it to come back? And you're trying to concentrate on that, but nothing's happening. The sensation that you felt when it happened is not reoccurring. So unfortunately, your attempt at self-science in this case is not successful.
Okay. I'm disappointed, but not surprised. I think that at this point, this town is just, it must have got to me. All these UFOs and all these crazy things that people are talking about all the time that I know are not real, I just finally cracked. And I had my own experience, but I still think that it's mostly based upon hearing so much of it. Like, I think that I must have fell at the lake and hit my head, or fell at the saucer swirl, and I just dreamed all of this up. Not quite to the point where I'm going to go to my therapist, but I'll stick with therapist dead dad and yelling and ranting about it. But what should I do from here? It's obviously not repeatable. So I'm going to drive back to the saucer swirl. I know I took the day off, but I really just want to go back to where I remember passing out last night so I can retrace my steps.
Okay. You drive back to the swirl, and it's as busy as it ever is, and you go to the base of this UFO, and this like UFO is supported on this small metal tower, and you look up at it, and there's something that you notice about this that you've never really thought about before, and it's that the UFO itself doesn't look like it was... you can't see any rivets, you can't see any screw holes, you can't see any signs of like actual construction, which is kind of weird to you. Like, it, you should be able to see things like that on there, but there is nothing. It looks to be made of a single piece of metal, like it was molded and everything. So that's odd to you.
But, is it climbable?
Yeah, you can totally climb that tower.
I'm totally climbing.
Okay. You climb up the tower, and what are you trying to do?
I want to touch it. That's really, I just kind of want to put my hands on it. I want to see it up close. I want to see if there's any place from that glowing to have come from.
Okay. You climb up and you reach up to touch it. You can feel that familiar electrical tinge that you felt when you were touching that orb, and as you were, because of this faint electrical field that it was creating. And when you touch it, the object, this UFO, starts to glow green.
I can make things glow. Okay. I'd like to call my friend Remy.
Okay.
Pull out my cell phone while I'm touching it, while I'm hanging out here, and I'm like, Remy, girl.
Okay, you try to contact Remy while you're touching this thing, and all you hear is static on the phone.
Okay. I'm going to climb down and call Remy.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, the whole time when you were saying reach up and touch it, I was thinking from Toy Story, oh, I have been chosen. Farewell, my friends.
Exactly.
I just, oh.
Exactly.
Like, that's all in my head.
Okay. Remy, are you, what's going on today?
Birdie?
Are you asleep? I thought for sure you would have been at the sheriff's office by now. Don't you have like a billion miles of paperwork to do?
No. No, I was up late on Amazon. I'm buying a new camera. I'm going into business for myself. I'm going to be a private detective.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we got that stall in the saucer swirl that's been out of order forever. You could, like, use that as your office.
Wow, I could, really? Do you think Bella would be okay with that?
Bella was never going to notice.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that's a good point, but all right, yeah. Bella was
never going to go into the women's restroom. Yeah, he's never going to notice.
You know what? There's also a place for a printer right on the back of the stall on the John. It's perfect. Nice, yeah. And I could put my laptop. That's real nice of you. But anyway, I can tell you more about it later. I was going to swing by. I was up late.
So I called in today. I called in to work today. I had a crazy night, and I'm going to ask you to do something crazy for me. Something simple, but it's going to seem kind of crazy. Can you come to the Saucer Swirl and meet me in the parking lot?
How is that crazy?
Just 5 minutes of your time and you'll figure it out.
Well, you want me to just...
Just come meet me in the parking lot. If you have a camera, bring it.
No, I just ordered it from... I can use my phone.
Bring your phone.
It won't be as good, but I'll bring my phone. Okay, wait. At what time? Where are you?
Right now.
You're not at this... Are you at
this?
I'm there,
in the parking lot.
Okay. All right. Give me 10 minutes. I'll put pants on. Give me 10 minutes. I'll be there.
Please put pants on.
Right. Well, I thought that was important. Yeah. Yeah. Pants are good. Okay. I'll be there. I'll hang up. But I will put like it's going to be like pants that are like those khaki ankle waiter kind of pants. Like it's like I haven't done laundry, you know, so it's like they just come down to the sneakers.
Excellent.
You can see the whites of my socks as they're pulled up.
Amazing.
All right.
While I'm waiting on her, I'm gonna be making a Remy's office sign to put on the restroom stall.
Please do not use Remy's office.
Excellent.
Yeah, I will. When I get in my car, also I'm gonna put like the wrappers from like, you know, the Chili's and Applebee's. When I get to go, I'm gonna toss it into the back seat just in case I gotta drive Birdie anywhere. I'll clean it off a little bit, and I put my backpack. I've got my case and my kit, and I'll put it in the back, and I'll head over to the Saucer Swirl.
Okay, so you head on over to the Saucer Swirl, and it's interesting because she's waiting out front. She's not inside, you know, the building. So she's just like out front.
Parking lot. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Remy.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
All I need for you to do.
Okay.
Watch. Okay.
Watch.
I'm going to climb up the UFO. Okay. And when I get up top, I need you to record.
Why?
That's it. That's all I need you to do.
Well, Rob, just out of curiosity, how tall up is the UFO?
Probably about 15 feet.
Why do you want to... I mean, if you fall off that's not good. You know that, right?
I've already done it once today.
You've already done it once today?
I have. It's sturdy. It's safe. I just need you to record, okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. Do you want me to record from anywhere? Is there a good angle? You want me to get on the ground? What do you want? Are you auditioning for something? What do you want?
It's just think of it as art. Okay. Just record.
Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, no. All right. Art. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll do like a panoramic when you get up there. Okay. I'll be ready. You're going to give me a single? You're going to wave?
I'll give you a countdown. You'll be, it's only 15 feet. You'll be able to see. You'll be able to hear me. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'm climbing back up.
I intently take my phone and I'm holding it there, ready at a moment's notice to record, waiting for the signal.
Okay. As you're doing that, you know, there's cars driving by. Nobody's really noticing except for one woman who knows you. Like, cause you're very personable around town. You're kind of one of those people that is in the community and stuff. And this woman, her name's Matilda Parker. She stops briefly. She stops and she rolls down her window. And she's like, Remy, what are you doing?
Maddie, I can't talk. I'm making art. I'm watching. Oh God, I'm making art.
You do art?
It's for me, Matilda.
Oh, it was for Birdie. Oh. I make art with Birdie now. Apparently, it's a thing we do. We meet in the parking lot.
Birdie, what are you doing up there?
You pull in and watch.
Oh yeah, Matilda, you want to come make art?
No. I'm not one of those artsy types, but like you kids be safe. You be careful.
Oh, that's what I told her.
And she will do.
Have a nice day.
There are a couple honks, you know, from behind her, and she takes off.
Oh God. Was that the signal? That wasn't the signal, right?
That's not the signal. Okay. Here's the signal.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Watch. And I'm going to touch the UFO.
Oh shit. Okay.
Are you rolling?
I hit the record button. Okay. On my phone.
Does it glow?
As she touches it, it does start to glow, and you can see it with your eyes, Remy. You can see this object, this UFO that is starting to glow this very bright green color. And like it's a bright sunny day in Sunderland, so like you would think like maybe it wouldn't be as detectable, but it's very noticeable. Like this green is very distinct. Like if you think about it, think back to like old sci-fi movies from like the 1950s where, you know, they make everything glow green. It has that kind of glow to it. And you're shooting, but it's not showing up on your camera.
Do I see it, Rob? Like, do I see it?
With your eyes, yeah, you do see it with your eyes.
I'll like look up and then look back at the camera and then look back up at Birdie.
It's okay. Remy, just stop the video. I'm going to come back down and let's watch it together.
Well, I feel like you're going to be disappointed because I must not have done something right, but that's weird.
Birdie, as you have your hand touching this, and you've been holding it there for a while, you hear a voice in your head and it says,
"Welcome." I never left.
What? Who are you talking to?
The UFO is talking to me.
Well, what did it say?
It said, "Welcome home." I'm climbing down as I'm talking to her at this point. God.
I turn the phone off and I come like running over. I'm just like, how did you know?
So Remy, you're an investigator. How am I doing this?
Okay,
I need you to help me figure this out.
Okay, well, I'm not a doctor, so that might be a start. I think we should
not the
get
voice,
you checked
not
up.
The voice, but. The glowing?
Okay, wait. All right, wait. Let's test something. Hey, wait. And I take out the phone and I put it in your hand. I'm like, let's see if something happens when I do it. Hang on. And I'm going to scale up and I'll put my hand on it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll record her.
Yeah. So I'll just scale up and I yelled down to her, we need a sample in science. They have like a test group, the sample group. So I'll be the sample group.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And I'll touch the, I like hesitate for a moment and then I'll, okay. And I touch the UFO.
Okay. You reach up and touch that UFO. Nothing happens.
Okay. Well, Birdie, I'm pretty sure it's you. Okay. And I'm going to climb down and, I'm going to go, okay, wait, just stand there for a second. Hang on. And I'm going to feel her forehead. Do I feel fever or anything? Do you feel sick? What's like, I'm going to grab your cheeks and kind of pull them a little bit and just be like, how does this feel? Does this hurt?
No. Okay, so Remy, I'm going to tell Remy everything that I remembered happening to me.
Okay. Yeah, she tells you everything.
All the things. So I'm trying to retrace my steps here just to see if it was real. And that happened. So does this mean that the stories are real?
Let's go inside. And I look down the road. Coffee's good. I look down the road. Matilda's long gone, right?
Oh yeah, like far gone.
Okay, good. I'm gonna look around, and I'm just like, and then I grab Birdie and go, "Birdie, you in danger, girl." No, I'm kidding. We go into. I'm gonna go in and be like, "Yeah, coffee. Coffee first, and then we can focus."
Okay. As you both go inside, we're gonna move to Serena Jade, and you know, for you, it's the next morning. You've had this really terrifying dream. Mary Keel has visited you in your dreams, and she has accused you of taking her book. So, let's start with your day. How are you feeling? How did you sleep?
So, yeah, to start, I want to put it out there that I didn't sleep. Sleep would not come after that nightmare. But what I have done is I've pulled an all-nighter once I was awoken, and once I went and hid my book. I proceeded to spend the rest of the night on the internet trying to figure out what is the deal with the Coral Chemical Company, because I am already highly suspicious of this place. And yesterday we received, you know, we met somebody that told us that there were maybe disappearances that were connected to that place. And at first I was like, wow, this is great. This is amazing. I can't wait to tweet about this, right? But then I had this really horrifying dream, and while I'm still very much looking for ammunition, I'm very, very unsettled by all of this. And so I would have spent hours trying to find anything I could online, about the Coral Chemical Company and about any of these disappearances. Would I have found anything?
We know that you're a deep Googler. You know, like we know you've got those deep Googling skills. You know,
you go right to page five.
That's the first spot that the first thing that you do, Google search, hit page five. And most of what you find about the Coral Chemical Company is that in like Sunderland in and of itself was founded essentially as the Coral Chemical Company built its structure, built its foundations here. So it is because of the Coral Chemical Company that Sunderland exists as a town. So it is really built up. It is an industrial town built up because of this one prominent business. The Coral Chemical Company has been in operation since about 1945. It was a big booming business right after the war. And it was founded by a woman named Coral Carson. And you know that in the middle of town, there is a statue dedicated to Coral Carson, the founder essentially of this town in many ways. It popped up because of her cleaning company. And there aren't a lot of reports about like problems. Like it seems like there just isn't a lot of reporting about the Coral Chemical Company, which seems kind of weird. Like you would think like a company with that has been in business as long as it has been would have like, you know, incidents like job safety issues or, you know, like incidents that may have happened there. But there's really not much of anything. you know that, like, they kind of have a high, like a somewhat high turnover rate in certain positions, and usually it's with the people in lower positions that are doing things like working on the assembly lines to, you know, like making the containers that these chemicals go into, the people that actually, you know, formulate and work on the chemicals and the chemical vats and stuff like that. But yeah, there really isn't much about it. It's almost like everybody kind of glosses it over.
If I'm looking specifically in putting the three names that we learned into Google, am I finding anything online about their disappearance?
Just to kind of give everybody a little bit of a refresher from the last time. So there were three missing persons that Forrest Philbrook was looking into. He had a collection of like five photographs, and there were three of them that you all recognized. One of them was a guy named Frankie Rose, employee of the Coral Chemical Company. He had complained of having like a migraine earlier in the day and asked to leave work early to go to the hospital. So he did. But upon entering the doors, just completely disappeared. Nobody knows what had happened to him. The only thing that is off and the only thing that you find that is weird, and you get this from the Weird Sunderland Twitter page, which if you're listening to this or watching this right now, you can go follow it at Weird Sunderland. That's where you get a lot of this lore dump, people. But
it's a real Twitter page.
It is a real God's honest Twitter page. There were staff that reported an odd van in the area at the time. The second missing person was a man named Reed Moss. He was a local contractor, and he decided to take the day off to go fishing at Mikalak Lake. And he was never seen again. His fishing pole was found on the shore. But what Weird Sunderland tells us, and Weird Sunderland is, that Twitter account is run by the local newspaper called The Missing Times. There were strange reports of garbage can-like UFOs in the area, and short bearded men that were seen in the vicinity of the lake and in the forest at the time. And the third man was a guy, a 25-year-old man named Grayson Burris. On October 10th, 1957, he paid a visit to the Brazel farm. He was good friends with the farmer there, Randy Brazel. And Randy had reported a bunch of strange lights in the sky for like a couple days before Grayson Burris paid a visit to the farm. And specifically over his cornfield, because that's one of the main crops that they produce over there. They produce corn, you know, a couple different types of beans. And on a dare, Grayson walked out into that field, you know, to like joke around like, oh, yeah, I'm going to disappear in this field. And he never walked out of it. Just completely disappeared. And that's what you find on those three missing guys. It's just the basic information. Nothing. The only like oddities that you find are on the Weird Sunderland Twitter page. But like there isn't a whole ton of extra information.
Okay. Well, I do notice the sun start to come up, and I have, you know, other than the brief amount of sleep I got, before the dream came to me, I've essentially pulled an all-nighter. So I'm feeling like, you know, very delirious, honestly still a little spooked. And I'm starting to think of what I need to do. And this is probably the worst idea in the world. that I'm starting to think I need to break into the Coral Chemical Company. That's what I'm starting, like, and I am, you know, and this is my, I haven't slept, and I am terrified, and I am also 100% convinced that the Coral Chemical Company is behind all of my troubles at this point. And so I'm, but first I need some coffee. So I'm going to head over to the Saucer Swirl, and I'm going to fuel up on coffee and pancakes, and I'm going to bring a notepad and my phone, because I am fully committed. I'm hatching this plan, and it's happening. So I'm going to head over for some breakfast.
Okay. You head on over to the swirl, and Birdie and Remy are there, and so is Forrest Philbrook. He's there doing his research and such.
He's there
when we go in.
I am the man I wanted to see. And I don't even ask if he's busy. I sit down. I assume there's an empty spot, like at his booth or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't sit across from him either. I sit next to him. And I don't even say hello. I just immediately start rambling at 90 miles an hour about this dream that I had last night and about how I'm getting ready to break into the Coral Chemical Company. And I think he's just the man I was looking for, because he probably wants to join.
He looks over at you like you are absolutely nuts. And good morning. What are you talking about?
No, you're right. You are on to something. I am telling you, this salesman lady is in on it as well. And I think that there's just like nothing on the internet. It has been scrubbed completely clean. Further proof that something is in fact going on. And we need to get in. We're going to figure out what they're hiding.
Breaking in? Are you kidding me? Like, I didn't come here to get arrested.
You're not going to get arrested. You're not going to get arrested. We got it. Trust me. Do you trust me?
I just met you like yesterday. And he takes a sip of coffee, and he takes a bite of these pancakes that are, they're blue, in color. And, wow, these are good.
Oh, Birdie, was Birdie working today? I want some of those. Birdie!
And you notice
that... Hey, Serena, Remy, we want to go sit with Serena. I'm not working today.
No, yeah, Birdie's off. Yeah.
Oh, well, can you tell someone else to bring me some blue pancakes and my coffee?
You know what? I'll do it. Birdie's not feeling too well. Birdie's on a break. Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah, it can't be that hard. Yeah. I'm going to go around the back, and I'm going to look at every kitchen utensil.
You go. And I whisper to Forrest, and I'm like, we got to be careful around her. She's police.
I'm going to take my coffee and go set with Serena and Forrest.
Okay.
Recipe. Birdie.
So...
Is Remy actually going to try to make the pancakes?
Yes, because Remy would be worried about there. Birdie. There is a cook back there?
Yeah.
A cook. Yeah, Bello's back there.
Oh, Bello's back there. I walk around there. I see Bello and go,
what are you doing? Remy, what are you doing?
Order up.
What are you doing back here?
Oh, I just, Birdie had to step out real quick. One order of blueberry pancakes, blue cakes. The cakes that you make that are blue, and I'm gonna go grab some coffee. I'm gonna walk the coffee around. Get on it. Thank you. You do a good job. And I'm gonna walk back out front.
And
Remy apparently does not know how restaurants work. I love it.
No clue.
So great.
No clue.
So, yeah, Bello gets to work on making those pancakes. He's kind of a little bewildered. The other server is a guy whose name is Glenn Campbell. And he's your server for today. And he looks at you, Birdie, and says, didn't you call in today?
I'm just here for coffee, Glenn. Just pretend like you don't see me.
Okay.
Birdie, why'd you call in? You're always here. You work every day. What's wrong?
It's a long story. You got a minute?
Oh, girl.
I'm going to come over with my coffee thing. I'd be like, Serena, here is a coffee.
Thank you, Rinny. And I lean over to Forrest. Okay, don't tell her about our plan to break in. Don't. She's police. Just keep that to ourselves.
That's perfectly fine, because I have not agreed to break into anything right now.
Exactly. I'm sorry,
what did you say about breaking in?
Nothing. We're not breaking. We were talking about how we're never, ever going to break into the Coral Chemical Company, despite how much we want to. Anyway, Birdie.
Serena, we all know that it's going to happen eventually. I'm not sure about Forrest here, yeah, we know you will eventually.
We just hope
you don't get caught.
Never. I would never.
Also, guys, I do have the craziest story, but first we have to celebrate. Remy is now a PI and apparently a waitress.
Yeah. I don't know about a waitress.
Did you quit the police?
Yeah,
she quit.
So actually, I'm gonna have an office right back here in the back stall. Bello.
I show them my sign that says "Do not use office of Remy PI."
You have an office set up in the bathroom.
Yeah. I'm very used to it, and I thought it was really nice.
Oh.
You know, to kind of ease the transition.
Sure.
But that stall, the back stall. It hasn't worked in years.
I'm completely unfamiliar with that stall that no one uses. That I'm now going to have find another place to do things in. Congratulations. But you're not with the police anymore? That's
No, I really thought about going in for myself and really trying to help more of the community on a face-to-face basis. Be really right up front.
Okay. I'm so glad you're here then, because I might have need of investigative work. I
still don't think she's gonna help you break in.
I'm not gonna break into anywhere. I have no idea what you're talking about.
When you say that, Forrest Philbrook looks over at the rest of them and is like, you know, like has that look on his face, like, don't trust that person. Like, she's being all crazy and stuff.
Birdie, tell me your story.
You know. So you guys know I don't believe any of the nonsense that gets told about this place, about the little green people and the UFOs, and obviously Bello thought of this saucer swirl place and people just went crazy with it, right? I think I had an experience.
She climbed up the saucer and it turned green. She touched it and it turned green. I'm not joking. I saw it and it didn't record and it was really crazy.
You took the video?
I'm sorry.
Can I
see the video?
Nothing's in the video.
Yeah, you can see
the video.
Wait, it's not there. But I saw it. I saw it. Okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't hold it in, but it was crazy.
I don't think we should show the whole town, but maybe tonight after this world closes, I can
show
you.
Okay. And then we can go do what I want to do.
What do you want to do?
Break into the Coral Chemical
Forest.
Company.
Forest. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Fine, I admit it. But I had an experience myself. And if Birdie is finished relaying
what is going on? Okay, stop. Hold on one second. you all told me that this was all made up stuff, that this stuff didn't really happen, that it was a waste of my time. What do you mean that you all had, you had experiences?
I had
what
a bad are dream.
You talking about?
We'll just say that. But it was a very,
so
bad
I told
dream.
Them my whole story,
dream.
Right?
Birdie, tell me what?
So I tell you the whole story, the spaceman, the UFO, the green lightning, the welcome home, Sunderland's time is up.
So her dream was way scarier than mine. But I also will relay my experience, and I will, whenever I get to the part about the book, I whisper really loudly, like a stage whisper about the book. But I won't tell anybody where it's hidden. I'll just be like, it's in a safe place, I hope. But I will tell them about the dream and about how I pulled an all-nighter and about all of my suspicions that the Coral Chemical Company is behind all of this.
Okay. So look, I'm not going to agree to go.
Birdie, I can't hear you if you're trying to talk.
Serena, what's the connection between your dream, Kimberly?
Well, because in my dream, this lady took credit. Well, she heavily implied that she was responsible for these disappearances. And as Forrest here explained to us, all of these disappearances are connected to the Coral Chemical Company. And as we all know, the Coral Chemical Company is an evil institution that is spouting poison into our society. So obviously,
okay,
this is the source of our problems.
Well, now, hang on. Listen, I may have just quit the force, but we gotta at least do things by the book a little bit. I mean, maybe we don't have to break in. Maybe we can, I mean, I'm sure they do tours, right?
They will never let me take a tour. They don't like me.
Well, not you, but maybe an upstanding citizen of the community. Maybe.
Maybe Remy and Forrest can take
us. No, that sounds cool. I'm so happy you're going to help us in this investigation.
Well, Forrest, listen, I understand what you're saying. And yesterday was a day. And I can't say that I had an experience, but you know how it is when people in your life experience something personal and it affects you more than the people experiencing something that you don't know? It's kind of how I feel. Birdie's my best friend here, and Serena Jade, she's all right. I like her. I'll keep her around. I wish she wouldn't tweet so much, but that's her, you know? And I know yesterday we told you one thing, but well, if we can be of help to you, maybe you can be of help to us, and I can help my friends out, and we could find out what's going on around here, and maybe there is more than what we saw. Oh, shit, the pancakes. I'll be right back. I gotta go get
you,
the pancakes.
Thank you,
Brittany. I go grab the pancakes. I feel like there's a bell, ding, and I'm, oh god, that means me.
And like, as you're going up there, Glenn goes up there too, and he looks at you like,
oh,
what are you, Remy, what are you doing?
Glenn, I just never see you work. It's always Birdie, so it's very weird. And I just think,
are you saying that I don't do my job? What the hell?
No, I'm saying I just never see you do your job.
What? Of course I do my job. Okay.
Oh, we'll bring those over stat, and I'll run back over.
And, you know, Glenn walks over. Glenn, kind of a sleepy dude, but, you know, walks over, brings over the blue pancakes, and you actually hear Bellow call out from the kitchen, Birdie, what did you pick up at the grocery store yesterday that made these pancakes good? They're really good.
I'll tell you when
I'm
not off work, okay?
Is it just like butter? Because I feel like butter is like the secret ingredient to everything.
Probably. It probably is. But he looks up, he's like, oh yeah, that's kind of weird. Why are you... Never mind. No, I'll talk to you later.
We'll talk tomorrow, Bello.
So, what, have you been able to dig up anything on the chemical company? Like, what's the connection here? Like, I've got missing people, they all work there, that's all I have. And, like, I'm trying to find something here, but there's nothing. Either these people cover their tracks or something. I'm heading over to the library later. I managed to find, and I'm going to be talking to Reed Moss's family to see what I can learn. But I don't have anything yet. And I'm definitely not to the level where I feel like breaking into a chemical company. He types something into Google and he brings up a website. He turns and faces the computer to you and he says, you gonna want to break into a place where that is heavily guarded, like the Coral Chemical Company? And you look on the screen and they almost look like tactical kind of security guards. They're wearing black, they're wearing masks, they do have firearms, and they do patrol around the Coral Chemical Company.
Let me ask you something, Forrest. What chemical company that makes cleaning products is this heavily guarded? You don't find that suspicious? They're not guarding bleach, sir.
I find it hella suspicious, but again, like, suspicions could be anything. And at this point...
I've never bought into this, guys. But you know, my dad worked there forever. So I can go through his stuff in the garage and see if there's any clues. Remy, you can help me.
I was about to say,
everybody can come help me. He worked there for his whole life, so...
Yeah, there might be something in there.
There might be something.
But look, don't you think you should get checked out, too? I mean, you're for sure feeling all right? You were talking up on top of the saucer. I'm just saying I'm worried about you.
I think the coffee is helping with the fuzzy head. And it's just been a lot going on, and... I've never been suspicious like this before. I've never believed any of this before. So I think getting to the bottom of it is the only thing that's going to make me feel better.
As you're eating your blue pancakes and talking, you notice that your pancakes are starting to... It's not really like the pancakes themselves, but there's like lights that are appearing around your plate of pancakes. And they're kind of like swirling around them a little bit. And everybody at the table notices.
Birdie, what was in that butter? What kind of butter did you buy for these pancakes? Look at this. Look at your plate.
It's regular butter from the grocery store. I'm staring at my plate like.
I'm gonna reach down and put my finger on one cake.
I'm gonna pull out my phone and I'm gonna try to record this.
Okay. And as you reach out, you're like, are you like trying to put your fingers in her food?
Yes. Basically. Yes. Okay. Basically,
I am not surprised at all by Remy's actions.
I'm fascinated by this, and I'm gonna take my finger and I'm just gonna like dip it right into the cake.
And I've got all of that on video. Happens. Just.
Okay.
Remy's hand just comes down.
Yeah, so you have a video of Remy's hand.
I was going to eat that.
Coming down into the pancakes. And the lights are not showing up, but you can see them with your own eyes. And they're just like spinning around the plate itself. And as you're touching those pancakes, you don't feel anything. You just have your hand in some pancakes.
I mean, it feels...
I will...
I mean, it feels squishy. I will also, I don't know, but that feels
do it, like, I'll like also poke at the pan... Like, I still have... I'm still rolling, and so now it's both me and Remy just, like, getting at the pancakes.
Remy going...
I am going to cut the pancakes on the other side of where their fingers are and, like, try to start scooping them off onto another plate so they don't get all of my pancakes.
Guys, I want to eat this.
Oh, sorry. Well, okay, hang on.
So as everybody's, like, you know, deconstructing your pancakes, Birdie, you start to hear... thoughts in your head that do not belong to you. And you can make out that they're coming, like, the voice that you're hearing is Glenn Campbell's voice. And that's a weird thing to say. I know everybody listening right now, it's a weird thing to say. But, like, you hear Glenn Campbell's voice in your head, and you can... And when you do, you look over at him and you can see him, like, standing over by a counter. And he's like, why is she even here today? Why am I covering her shift if she's here? Like, he's just going on and on about the fact that he has to be here this morning, that he's working a double, and that, you know, he's just frustrated as hell. You are hearing Glenn Campbell's thoughts.
I'm, like, looking at him very intensely, like, to reassure myself that he is not actually talking.
Okay, and he's not staring at you at first. He's kind of looking off, like, you know, consumed in this thought, staring at a wall. And then he comes to it and he looks over at you, and he has the look on his face of, like, oh my god. Does she know that, like, I was thinking about her or something to that effect? And he, like, walks into the back.
I, of course, like, as soon as he looks at me, because I've been staring at him, I'm going to, like, look back at my pancakes. Now that I have the pancakes on two plates, are both plates sparkling?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. I'm going to... tap my fork on Forrest's plate and see if I can make his pancakes start sparkling.
You do, but they don't do anything. There's no light that appears.
Okay, guys, we see this.
I see it.
Right? Everybody at the table sees this.
Sabrina, yeah.
Forrest. Yeah.
I definitely see it. It is hella okay. Weird.
Any of what you guys...
Hell, is this, like, what is this, a magic trick? What the hell? What the hell is this? Like, you told me that nothing weird happens, and this is pretty fucking weird.
This is pretty weird, okay?
Yeah.
This is the weirdest, and it's happening to me, okay? It's happening to me.
It's happening to all of us right now, but yeah, I can see where it'd be happening to you.
Did anybody hear Glenn talking about me?
Well, yeah, when I was over there, Glenn mentioned that he...
No, like, right now, like, while we were... The pancake thing started happening. Could y'all hear him?
No, but if you want me to go say something to him, I will. That's rude.
Is Glenn bad?
You work really hard, Birdie.
Yeah.
Glenn can keep his thoughts to his damn self.
Do you think I was hearing Glenn's thoughts?
Oh, wait, no. I thought you said he was... I thought... Is he not talking shit?
He was just standing over there, and you guys were all sticking your fingers in my pancakes, and I could hear him like he was sitting at the table with us.
I reach over and start poking the pancakes again, and I was like, can you hear his thoughts now?
I'm gonna try to concentrate and see if I can hear Glenn again.
Okay, I'll like poke the pancake thinking that this is facilitating the mind reading.
Okay. No, you don't hear anything else. You do get a Twitter notification.
Me?
Yes.
Tweet.
And... I I like wipe a hand on my shirt and I'm like covered in blue pancake and I check my phone.
Okay. And also at the same time, Remy, you get a phone call and it is Lexi Ellis.
Oh, Lexi, hi.
Oh, hey. We got the autopsy report back on that on Carter Potts.
Yes. The arm. Yeah, of course.
I don't really know how to explain this, but it does appear like he overdosed, but the drugs that were in his system were like nothing we've ever seen before. It's like it looks like a hallucinogenic or like a psychedelic or something, but like a strain we have never seen before.
It's not in the system at all? Anything that the labs came back? Toxicology? Nothing?
It was just... It's hard to describe. Like, the toxicologist looked at me like I was crazy because they had never seen any drug like this before or anything. It mostly resembled, like, a really extreme form of, like, LSD is the way that they described it.
Lexi, listen, I don't know if you should be sharing this stuff with me, I would mighty appreciate it if, maybe you'd keep sharing some information with me and also too, maybe they might do something about that arm as well. Maybe a sample, a biopsy?
Yeah, they were still waiting on that, but I'll send you what we have for the autopsy report, and when we get back whatever that stuff is with the arm, I'll shoot you a copy. Like, where do you want me to send this this autopsy report?
Oh, can you send it over to the swirl? And just hand it over to Birdie?
Care of bathroom.
What? Care of bathroom? Are you still in the bathroom?
No, well, Remy. It's a really nice stall, though. And it's a good spot. The swirl's a good spot for private investigation work. I've been handing out my cards, and I immediately, like, as I put Lexi, like, on my shoulder, and I reach and I take out a stack of business cards that I had made overnight that are, like, in regular 8x11 sheet paper, not even cardboard. It's just like flimsy paper, and I put them right on the counter. I'm like, I'm really trying to make a go of it. I'm gonna make sure that everybody knows my name, Remy Dean. Somebody being mean, you call Remy Dean. But it's a great spot. And
while this conversation is happening, somebody comes in. Like, I recognize them as one of my customers, and they like look at me and like start to head to that bathroom, and I'm just like, no. That place is out.
Okay. Cannot go anymore.
This whole time, I am just like, they're all talking on the phone and distracted. So I'm just meditating over the food and trying to make it sparkle. Like, I'm waving my hands over the table, swirling my coffee.
So one thing that I want Remy to do, Remy, roll me a perception check.
Oh, okay. My very first roll.
I should probably have my dice.
I was just like, oh God, yeah. Do I have my dice? Did I grab my dice?
Did you grab
my dice? Oh my God.
This is a table talking, after all.
I know. It's weird. Oh my God.
I forgot my dice. They're on the table. Wait, I'm right back.
The moment when you forget this is a tabletop game.
This is the moment where
it's
you
just a role-playing game, guys. It's just role-playing. There's
a tabletop. There's no dice to it. We're fine with the role-playing.
I know that we don't roll dice as often with this one yet, but you know, it's gonna happen every now and then.
It's gonna happen when we finally break into the chemical company.
Can I just say, I earlier I had been so worried about tech stuff and everything like that, I left them right on the table, like, oh, I gotta log on. All right, perception. So embarrassing. All right, perception. I'm pretty good at that. 15?
Oh yeah, you notice when those people come in, like Serena's regulars. You notice when they come in that she's like waving them off.
I put the stack down. I see them, and then I'll turn to her. And I'll just be like,
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just they can't poo in there because it's your office now. That's all I was saying.
Stop doing drugs in my office. All right.
I am telling them to leave. For you.
God. Oh no, no, Lexi, not you. Listen. Yes, it's perfect. Thank you so much. I will. Please send it over to the swirl, and I'll be sure to get it. Thank you, Lexi.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, always happy to do it. I'll have it over to you real quick. And Serena, when you check your phone and your notification, there it is from the Coral Chemical Company. They are staging a protest in front of your business.
Guys, I have to go. I have to go. I have to go. And I leave.
In Sunderland, a skeptic can be made into a believer in an instant. Two of our players don't see the world as they once did. Their reality was manipulated by forces greater than this world has ever known. But just a reminder, you can't make the floating balls of light that are hovering around your blue pancakes disappear by poking them. Thank you all so much for listening. Remy Dean was played by Chris Russo, Serena Jade was played by Jennifer Taylor, and Birdie was played by Desdemona. You can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram at SunderlandRPG. And if you want more weird lore about the town of Sunderland, check out Weird Sunderland on X. Until next time, welcome to Sunderland. If you see something, don't say a fucking thing.